Chapter 27, 10th of June. Family occasions have a scary resemblance to school trips to the zoo. The cavalry arrived in full force. Nana Tia and Gramps came first. Nana was wearing an inappropriately large hat, bitching and moaning about the French-speaking taxi driver from the moment she stepped foot out of the car.
"Why can't they just learn English?" she scoffed.
"Because we're in France, woman. He's French. Let him speak his own damn language in his own damn country,"
Gramps barked, passing the driver a generous and no doubt apology-filled tip.
"Now get your bag before I throw it in pole."
Nana spotted Jack from a mile away and was soon reviewing him from over the top of her bejewelled sunglasses.
"So that's your new man, is it?"
she asked me, both of us watching him deal with another one of Willow's frivolous wedding requests. "Sort of," I replied. Nana shot me a sideways glance.
"What do you mean, sort of? What kind of an answer is that, sort of? He either is or he isn't."
"Okay then," I confidently replied, eager to get Jack's and my fake relationship plan well and truly underway. "He is my new man."
"Hmm," Nana pouted. "Your Auntie Angela says he's an actor as well."
She rolled her eyes and pushed her sunglasses back up her nose.
"Just what we need, another actor in the family."
Gramps lit up a cigarette, using my back as a wind cover.
"Ignore the wench," he whispered, before straightening. "Is he any good?"
"What kind of a question is that?"
Nana scoffed at him.
"Doesn't matter if he's any good. How much does he earn, Melissa? What does he hold in his estate? That's how you know if a man is good material or not. Can't provide for a family by being good at anything, especially acting."
I considered at that point whether or not to tell Nana that Jack's net worth was about £7.5 million. It could give her the heart attack we've all been waiting for. At the rehearsal dinner, Jack well and truly earned his stare by keeping his arm firmly around my waist. He was my perfect, chiselled and talented force field, batting off every backhanded compliment that got thrown my way.
"So how's the acting hobby going, Mel? Finally making it past the audition stages?"
"Actually, Kenneth, sir, Mel has been juggling auditions. Press for our most recent film, Symbol of Freedom, and her already hectic work schedule quite successfully. She's even thinking of branching out into writing, broadening her horizons and maximising her opportunities."
"Can't believe Mel's actually managed to tie someone down. We always hear about possible boyfriends, but then never meet them. Makes you start to wonder if any of them were real."
"I can assure you, Angela, I'm very much real. Can I get you another Pinot?"
I might have to book Jack to be my fake boyfriend again for Christmas. It was turning out to be the best idea anyone had ever had. I was starting to, dare I say, enjoy myself. That was until Willow began hitting her champagne glass with her fork. Our entire family, sitting around the gigantic garden table, looked up at her.
"Family and friends," she chimed, clearing her throat. "I know it's not usually tradition for the bride to make a speech, but I thought, screw that. It's my rehearsal dinner and I have a few words."
Her eyes then flickered my way and I felt my stomach churn. She was plotting something and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
"Firstly, I want to thank our gorgeous host, Uncle Teddy."
Dad smiled shyly from behind his wine glass.
"To welcome us all into your home after everything you and Little Nips,"
Willow sniggered,
"I mean Little Mel, have gone through. It's just so amazing. We all miss Auntie Teresa."
Everyone froze. No one said her name. Not ever. It was just mum, my mum, our mum, your mum. Never Teresa. I immediately looked at Gramps, who was gripping so tightly onto his glass that his knuckles had gone white. He was no doubt having the same involuntary response as me. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed my dad had started to shuffle uncomfortably in his chair. Dad never had an issue talking about mum. He almost took comfort in it. But hearing her name might have been a step too far for him as well.
She was the joy in all our lives, and to die so young, it really was a tragedy. But everything happens for a reason, as they say, and if Auntie Teresa hadn't passed on, we wouldn't be here today, would we?
I think I'm going to be sick, I thought, bile creeping up my throat. No way was Willow bringing this up now.
Uncle Teddy wouldn't have his villa, would he? And then we'd all probably be in the local cricket club or something.
There could have been more laughter, but I wasn't sure. It all sounded like white noise as I stared at my dad across the table, who was slowly sinking into his chair. He wouldn't make eye contact with me. He wouldn't look up at all.
A beautiful place that I'm sure cost a bobber.
Gramps stood up, his chair scraping against the flags.
To Teresa, he grunted, lifting his champagne glass. I think that's what you're getting at. Eh, Willow?
Willow fluttered her eyelashes, tipsy.
Ah, yes, sorry. Thank you, Gramps. Let's all raise a glass and remember our Teresa.
Glasses raised, family members drank, and as conversations began to pick up again, Dad subtly excused himself and scuttled off towards the kitchen. I followed, ignoring Jack's questionable gaze as I got up from the table. Dad? I asked, coming through the back door. You okay? I found him by the sink, sipping a glass of water.
I'm fine, he reassured. Wine's just hit me, I think.
He finally looked up at me, his tears magnified by the lens of his glasses.
Think I'm going to head up to bed.
Can you let them all know when you go back out?
Dad.
Good night, Freckles. He planted a tear-stained, loving kiss on my cheek.
I love you, you know.
I know. I love you too. With my toes in the pool, knees up to my chest, and sunscreen burning my eyes, I heard footsteps crunching against the pebbled path. I didn't have to look to know Jack had come to find me. Do I really know the sound of his footsteps already?
Was wondering where you'd disappeared off to,
he chuckled, removing his shoes and dunking his feet into the crystal clear water.
Yeah, sorry, I needed some air.
I rubbed my temples.
You know you were already outside, right?
Jack chuckled. I mean air without relatives, I grunted. They've given me a headache.
Your cousin Willow is, interesting.
Oh, she's a delight.
Jack smiled apologetically.
God, this was torment.
Why had I dragged him here? Why had I even agreed to come here myself? It wasn't as though I'd ever thought this was going to be fun. I should have just declined the invite and suffered the consequences. Would have been less painful.
Let me help with that.
Suddenly, I felt Jack's hand weave itself under my mass of frazzled hair. His fingers skated across the top of my spine, and before I knew it, his right thumb began tracing a figure of eight deep into my skin. I only just managed to stop a moan from parting my lips. That's,
helping relieve the headache.
I'll say.
My toes were starting to curl. When had this swimming pool started to boil? I bit my lip to stop myself from asking him to try that massaging motion of his thumb elsewhere.
Oh God, even the thought.
His hand fell from my neck. Why was he stopping? What had I done? I realised my eyes were closed and I looked his way. Jack was hunched over, busy watching his own feet paddling in the water.
Has she always been that way with you?
Oh right, Willow. Yeah, that's a turn-off for sure.
I wet both my hands in the pool and ran my fingers through my hair, trying to flatten some of the frizz. I cleared my throat before answering.
I feel like she's branded me Little Nips for the rest of my life. I've been meaning to ask how that nickname came about.
I rolled my eyes, the memory a distant yet still triggering haze. It was my Auntie Angela's 40th, for like the third year in a row. I would have been about 13, and my boobs were just starting to come in. I hadn't had time to go shopping for a training bra, so I went braless to this birthday party, wearing this bottle green tank dress, and when there was a gust of wind, I got cold. My nipples just poked through this dress like bad mosquito bites. Cut to 10 or so years later, and she's still calling me little nips. Jack half smiled, giving it a minute before giving in to what he actually wanted to talk about.
Your dad didn't come back to dinner. Is he okay?
I shrugged. I hope so.
Was it the mention of your mum that set him off?
No, I breathed. If you hadn't noticed, Dad loves talking about Mum. It's just... I grit my teeth together. There's always been this ongoing judgment on Mum's side of the family that Dad bought this place with her money. That's what Willow meant about not being here if Mum hadn't died. It was a dig at my dad. I shook my head, still baffled that Willow'd actually done it. Mum didn't have any money. Dad sold his business and my childhood home and bought this place all within the first year of Mum being gone. A lot of people around that table back there got jealous about it. Hated him for doing it. Even rang him and told him. The same image of Mum's twisted face appeared in my mind again. Lying in her hospital bed, pinned down by nurses, Dad wide-eyed and traumatised in the corner. They've no idea what Dad and I went through. He needed this place. Saved him. Jack had gone still, staring at me, concern etched across his face.
What was your mum like?
Raged, I thought, like the rest of us. Mum was, I tried to find the right words. When had I last talked, really talked, about my mum? She was an artist before anything else. It even seeped into her parenting. Like, I grew up not being allowed to use erasers because I needed to learn to live and work with my mistakes. She loved food, cheese and bread more than anything. Very eclectic taste in music. One minute you'd be listening to rhythm and blues, then musical theatre, then punk rock to finish. She had a great sense of humour. Found me funny. God knows why. All I do is chat bollocks. I gestured to my own mouth, aware I was rambling. Point proven.
She sounds like she was a wonderful woman.
She was a pain in the arse, Jack. But she was my mum. And I loved her.
How did she cope with all of them?
Jack threw a thumb towards the distant chatter. No doubt Gramps would be trying to make a Siggy escape. Nana Tia would be chastising some poor sod, and Willow would probably be cheating on her fiancé with an usher or two. She didn't, I laughed. Mum struggled the same as the rest of us with her antics, so most of the time she just kept a distance from them. Suppose that paid off in the end. Didn't hurt her when none of them came to see her on her deathbed. Except Gramps. I scoffed. Want to know what Uncle Kenneth's response was when Mum told him she had terminal cancer? Oh, sis, I thought I'd die first. I couldn't help but laugh through the pain, wiping a stray tear away with the back of my hand. Anyway, I diverted. How are you coping with them all?
Your nana keeps squeezing my arm and calling me Jack Hart.
Jack confessed, visibly grimacing. I felt myself prickle, still laughing. Well, that's what happens when you have a name, Jack. People tend to use it.
You know what I mean.
He splashed some water at me playfully. I pushed him away, my hand probably lingering far too long on his arm.
She's double-barreling me. I don't know whether she's coming on to me or about to give me a bollocking.
I don't want to even think about my nana coming on to you, thanks. Jack laughed.
I wouldn't even try it with her, Mel. Your grandad could definitely take me.
I hummed in agreement. Jack laughed and I felt the urge to kiss him. Wondered if I leaned towards him, would he lean the rest of the way? Should I try it? It would have definitely made me feel better. And we were trying to be a convincing couple after all. Before I had another moment to think about it further, I suddenly felt the sting of chlorine flood my nose. Jack had pushed me and thrown himself into the pool. We made our way back to the house, piss wet through, leaving two snail trails of pool water behind us. We snuck in through the kitchen and up the back stairs. As our rooms were in separate directions, we parted ways on the landing. I turned to head to my room, starting to feel a bit of a chill through my damp clothes, when Jack's fingers suddenly wrapped around my wrist.
"I'll see you for the big day tomorrow, then,"
he said. It could have been the heat or the lingering smell of chlorine clouding my judgment, but could have sworn he was leaning in.
"What the hell have you two been doing?"
Gramps bellowed, coming out of the bathroom, adjusting his belt beneath his potbelly.
"Fall into bog or what?"
Jack took a swift step back and feigned a laugh.
"No, Mr. Fallon. Had a bit of a tumble into the pool, I'm afraid."
Gramps raised an eyebrow.
"Both of yous?"
"Jack first. I went in after," I teased. "Jack can't swim, you see." Jack threw me an embarrassed glare, but begrudgingly went along with my lie.
"Yeah, never learn, unfortunately."
Gramps humphed disapprovingly, leaning close to me.
"That's not natural, Mel. All that money and he never thought to get himself some swimming lessons."
Gramps headed downstairs with another disapproving humph. Jack and I were alone once again, but the could-have-been moment had very much gone. Night, Jack.
Night, Mel.
Chapter 28, 11th of June.
Ladies and gentlemen, family of the bride and groom, we are gathered here today to celebrate the love of a lass who just wanted an excuse to wear an extortionately priced dress and a lad stupid enough to believe this marriage is going to last longer than a year. I thought I'd seen Jack at his sexiest in his fighter pilot uniform. But then he opened his bedroom door, and I was left speechless by the vision of him in his suit. A dark blue tux, crisp white shirt, buttons undone to reveal a smooth, hairless torso. Did he get a wax? I tried to keep my eyes focused on something above shoulder height to avoid reaching out and running my fingers over his bare skin. "You about ready?" I swallowed. Jack was blinking back at me, a shoe in one hand, the door handle in the other.
"Mel, you look..."
"Stupid, I know. It's Amara's dress, not really my thing, but hey-ho, it'll have to do." Jack nodded slowly, allowing his eyes to roam up and down my body. Was the fit really that bad? I thought, patting down the front of my dress self-consciously.
"You want to come in?"
He finally fixed his eyes on my face.
"I'll be a few minutes, so you might as well."
I shrugged, and he stepped aside to let me pass. Dad had a few guest rooms, but the one Jack was staying in was particularly sweet. Sheer curtains over double French windows, pale blue walls and a fluffy, soft carpet you could scrunch your toes into. "Enjoying the shag pile?" Jack shut the door with a laugh.
"Say again?"
"The carpet. Shag pile. Not that you can see it." I tread carefully around the exploded contents of Jack's suitcase.
"Yeah, it's nice."
He sat on the end of the bed beside me and pulled on his missing shoe.
"So how are we playing today? Same as last night, or are you wanting a full-on boyfriend-girlfriend performance? Really try and get the bride's blood boiling."
I laughed nervously. "You sound like you're going to start asking me for a full character breakdown in a minute." Jack tied his laces, his knee up to his chest.
"I'm just wanting to know the parameters before I end up getting in trouble for doing something you're not happy with."
"Like what?" I asked dumbly.
"Well,"
Jack straightened.
"How much physical intimacy are you wanting? If you want us to be believable as a couple, I'm guessing you're going to want me to kiss you."
"Yes, please. Thank you very much, please," I thought. "Snog my face off, Mr. Hart." "I mean," I took a breath, trying to pass off my complete brain malfunction as a possible sneeze. "That could, but I..." I no longer had the ability to put words together, just noises. "Sure?" Jack's eyebrows raised.
"Are you sure you're sure?" You hesitated.
"Only because..." I began, wondering how I could complete the sentence without saying something like, "You caught me off guard, you dickwad." "I needed a moment to think about it first," I finished.
"What's there to think about?"
Jack fretted.
"It's not like we haven't kissed before."
He stood and began to button up his shirt. I felt my eyes bulge, thrown. Was he seriously bringing that up now? Jack casually checked his reflection in the large mirror hanging on the wall.
Though, I suppose they were different. Very alcohol-influenced. What with you being pretty pissed in Manchester and me having had a few at the rap party.
True, I considered. Though, in fairness, I don't see myself staying sober past the vows today. I glanced at Jack's reflection, curious to know what he was thinking, and saw he was beaming from ear to ear. What are you looking at me like that for?
Just nice to know you do actually remember kissing me in Manchester.
My mouth suddenly went dry. I felt myself blush, confident Jack wouldn't be able to tell considering how sunburnt my cheeks were. I jumped to my feet, desperate to get out of the room. God, we're going to be late if we don't get a wiggle on. Shall I meet you downstairs? I'll meet you downstairs. I scurried towards the door, not wanting to give him the chance to respond.
Mel?
Jack laughed, placing his hands firmly on my waist and holding me still.
I'm taking the piss.
I felt a soft, affectionate, brief kiss on my forehead.
You don't half overthink, you know.
Jack chuckled, releasing me and grabbing Ian's burgundy tie from the bed.
So that's a yes to the kissing. It'll help to make it believable and we'll be a convincing couple. But let's not overdo it, so we don't ruin our friendship, yeah?
Friendship. I'm glad he clarified that. No, really, I am. Not disappointed at all. It meant I could get through the day without thinking anything Jack did romantically towards me was real. It meant no lines were going to be crossed and I could, for once, not overthink everything. Jack lifted his tie towards me.
Can you help me with this? I've always been useless with them.
Sure. Don't remember the wedding, only remember wine, dancing and kissing. Lots and lots of kissing. Did I mention wine? Now, I need to find Jack's room.
Chapter 29, 12th of June. The best decisions are made when you're drunk at 3:10 in the morning. No, wait.
I may have outdone myself on the self-destructive front. I could have easily left things at a mess-free, all-time high, but no. I just couldn't help myself, could I? I wobbled across the landing and all the way to Jack's bedroom at stupid 8:00 in the morning and knocked. There was no answer. Maybe he's fallen asleep, I thought. It wouldn't surprise me. He was probably exhausted, having spent the entire day playing boyfriend, and successfully too. Everyone had believed it, even Willow. God, it was priceless. Everyone had admired Jack more than her dress, congratulated me on my successful catch before congratulating the bride and groom. It was hard not to feel smug all day. Comforted by the thought that Willow would definitely think twice before assigning me a plus one at her next wedding. I knocked again. There was no answer. I retreated, confident Jack wasn't coming to the door, only to suddenly bump into him standing right behind me.
What are you doing?
His eyes scanned my face so intensely I couldn't even begin to think up a lie. Would I've run out of toothpaste work? I was just... My words caught in my throat. His white shirt was unbuttoned again, the smell of wine lingering on his breath. Wait, never mind me, what are you doing? Panic flashed in his eyes, then a drunk, sort of wonky smile appeared.
I've just been knocking on your bedroom door,
Jack confessed. Why?
Why the hell do you think?
Jack's lips were suddenly on mine, his hands on my waist. My back pressed hard against his bedroom door. He groaned as I instinctively bit his lip. My knees almost buckled as his fingers gripped onto my hips. I couldn't believe it was happening. Adamant God was either making up for all the times he'd screwed me over, or all the alcohol I'd drunk was causing me to have a very vivid hallucination. Jack jiggled the door handle and we both stumbled back into the room. He pressed his weight against me and we landed loudly against the wall. Suspending both my wrists above my head with one hand, his other teased the hem of my dress, his fingertips skating up my thigh.
What do you want, Mel?
My mind was rattled and my thoughts scrambled. It was an easy question to answer. I wanted him, but I struggled to find the courage to say it. It was then that I realised I could feel his heart was beating just as fast as mine. You. I want you.
Thank God,
he moaned, almost taking a chunk of skin off my shoulder. He kissed the length of my collarbone, then his lips made their way down my body and under my dress. I felt myself quiver, my breath catch. My fingers scrunched his hair tightly. Jack stood, grinning, before wrapping my legs around his waist and carrying me over to his bed. He was clearly a pro, a true expert in his craft. Made me wonder how many women he'd been with. The roughness of his unshaved jaw pleasantly tickled my cheek. He took my dress and pulled it over my head. I saw his eyes scan over my body, his fingers itching to remove everything else. I pulled his shirt off far too eagerly, then his belt, bloody fiddly when you're pissed. Condom? My brain panicked aloud. God, I didn't bring any.
It's okay,
Jack panted, already wiggling out from under me.
I've got a pack in my case.
He reached for his bag and retrieved a box. You brought condoms? I queried, smiling at him dopily. A whole box full? It was hard not to laugh. He looked back at me, the wrapper crinkling between his fingers.
A guy can dream, can't he?
Jack slipped his right hand back into that comfortable spot around my waist and pulled me right on top of him.
Best dream I've ever had is this.
We were both limp, breathless, Jack's hand still on my body, my arms around his neck. My legs were fully out for the count. Jack kissed me softly on the forehead before getting up and heading for the bathroom. He didn't say a word, just shut the bathroom door behind himself and the room went silent. I felt myself curl up instinctively, all the ecstasy seeping out of me as I pulled the sheets up over myself. I considered leaving. The reality of how stupid this spontaneous endeavour was had finally hit me. Before I'd even removed the duvet, Jack had returned, grinning at me. I really had a chance to give his naked body the once-over as he crossed the room. I've just had that, I thought, still not fully believing it. Jack joined me under the covers, wrapping his arm around me and pulling me back to lie on top of him. With a satisfied grunt, he planted a kiss on my shoulder.
We should do that more often,
he chuckled, taking long, deep breaths. The thought of doing it again, let alone more often, sent a tingling sensation down my spine. I tried to work out if Jack had meant this could even be something we did when we got back. The term friends with benefits came to mind. He could just mean more often while we're here, I told myself. If that was the case, I was going to make good use of whatever time I had left. My fingers started to skate across his torso, venturing wherever they pleased.
I don't mean right this second, Mel. I need a minute to get me breath back.
I didn't say anything. Jack smirked, both his hands now resting behind his head. I kissed his chest and ran my fingers through his sweat-soaked hair, pressing my weight against him.
Mel,
Jack warned, playfully. I had to deal with you the other day. I say it's only fair. His eyes widened.
What do you mean, had to deal with me the other day? What did I do?
Giving me that bloody massage. I chuckled into his neck. I almost came right there by the pool. Jack didn't laugh, which caught me off guard. Why wasn't he laughing? What I said was funny. Well, it was supposed to be funny. What are you looking at me like that for? I didn't come, just saying I nearly did. But then you stopped rubbing my neck.
I stopped because I'd got hard.
I burst out laughing. You're kidding!
No,
he stated, stone-faced.
I was just trying to help you with your headache, and then you went and started biting your lip and had this look on your face like you were gonna...
Come? I sniggered. Jack finally laughed along with me. He shook his head dumbfounded, then wiped the sweat from his brow with the back of his hand.
So you're telling me we could have been doing this all week?
I kissed him delicately and took his bottom lip between my teeth. His whole body tensed beneath me as I kissed down his body.
I said I needed a minute,
he groaned, biting onto his fist.
You know, a minute, 60 seconds, then we can go.
He scrunched his eyes and growled.
God, you're a right chuffing pain in the arse.
Guess he didn't need a minute after all. Jack's arms were quite firmly wrapped around me. Both of us were on our sides, the morning sunlight streaming in through the sheer curtains.
Clothes had been thrown over every piece of furniture, the photos no longer straight, the bedside lamp knocked over on the floor. It really happened. But it was time for it to be over. Despite my desperation to snuggle closer to Jack, I knew that wasn't how Friends with Benefits worked. I needed to get out of there before he woke up. So I lifted his arm and shimmied out of the bed. A pale blue t-shirt was the closest thing in reach. I pulled it over my head, the scent of Jack filling my nostrils. Standing, I tiptoed towards the door, scanning the floor for my dress and shoes.
I'm cold now,
Jack grumbled into his pillow.
Get back here before I freeze.
I turned to find him half asleep, grumpily scowling at me. Maybe he's still drunk. I didn't know you were awake. I took a hesitant step back.
I'm awake now. Where are you going?
I racked my brain for a semi-believable excuse. Just going to find some painkillers and try and have a shower, to be honest. Jack stretched, yawning loudly before mischievously asking,
Is there room for two in that shower?
My heart lurched. If this was still drunk Jack, or hungover Jack, or brain-damaged Jack, it didn't really matter. I would be happy with any. Yeah, I laughed nervously. Want to use your shower or mine? Jack, close behind, followed me down the stairs. We'd long missed breakfast, but with some wedding guests still knocking about, I couldn't say I was sorry, just starving. I grabbed Jack by the collar as we reached the hallway, pulling him close. I saw his neck was a bright collage of the night before.
You trying to rip me shirt off?
There are relatives out there. We've got 30 seconds to grab as many croissants as we can before being seen. And I swear to God, if you waste any time grabbing fruit, I'll make you regret it. No one wants a piss in orange when they're hungover.
Fruit is sustenance, Mel. You're going to need some if you want round two.
I sniggered. Well, technically, it'd be round four.
You're trying to kill me, woman.
The kitchen door swung open. Dad was on the other side holding a plate of pastries.
I thought I heard voices.
What are you doing out here? We were just...
dilly-dallying.
Dad cut me off.
I'm going to have to reheat these now.
Dad stood aside, wafting us into the kitchen. Come on, come on. Anyone would think you were hungover. Jack gave me a knowing smile and headed for the porch where the breakfast table was waiting for him. Dad watched him go before turning to me with a disapproving look on his face.
You've absolutely destroyed that poor boy's neck.
Most of the family had left by noon, except for Nanatia, Gramps, the newlyweds, and us. The lingering taste of alcohol meant everyone was on edge. Jack and I hadn't managed to get away, but instead had been forced to sit and socialise. You're quite the dancer, Jack Hart, Nana expressed, sitting back in her chair, sunglasses on, cold compress on her brow. Shame you didn't take me onto the floor for a spin and a lift.
Probably because if he tried to lift you, love, he'd break his effing back.
Gramps coughed, shoveling an entire piece of toast into his mouth.
You did right, man. Stick to dancing with your own date. If I'd done that, I wouldn't be married to her.
So, what are your plans for today, kids? Dad asked, trying to defuse a geriatric domestic. Jack smirked. Hopefully he was thinking the same thing I was. Wait for everyone to leave and head right back upstairs.
We haven't really got any, Ted.
Dad rummaged in his pocket.
Oh, I'd hope you'd say that. That means you can both head into town and grab me some food before you go.
The wedding's absolutely cleared me out. Take the minute and hey, Freckles can even show you all the cool old buildings. I wrinkled my nose. Don't suggest sightseeing, old man. The last thing I wanted to do was bore Jack half to death in a tiny car with no aircon, especially when I knew there was much better activities now available.
We'd love to.
Jack shockingly accepted, taking the keys. Was he seriously agreeing to this? Maybe he wasn't thinking the same as me. Maybe he's been waiting for an excuse to forget last night and this morning and go back to our regular friendship.
Mel,
Jack encouraged. I forced a fake smile. I couldn't think of anything better. When we eventually got into Dad's car, I drove around aimlessly.
Are you going to be able to find your way back to the house?
Jack asked, watching another couple of signs whiz past his window.
Or are we lost?
We're not lost, I snapped, pulling over into the verge. This is exactly where we're supposed to be. Jack cranked down his window and stuck his head out.
It's a field.
I began to clamber out of the car, grabbing my bag. Yep, we're going for a walk and a sniff. We'll find a shop eventually.
I thought we were going sightseeing.
It's a lavender field, Jack, I snapped, starting to climb over the adjacent stone wall. In Provence, in June, this is sightseeing. I had, in fact, got us lost. By the time we managed to find our way back to the house, it was dark. Dad had dinner laid out for us on the porch. We'd usually try to go all out as a final hurrah to our stay, but being in short supply of food, a magnificent feast consisted of tinned chicken soup and cooked from frozen garlic bread. Dad was noticeably glum as he cleared the table. I hoped it wasn't Willow's bitter toast from the other day still getting to him. I concluded Willow had done what she'd done at the rehearsal dinner as a way of getting back at me for bringing Jack. Rather than hurting me directly, she'd attacked the only person she knew I truly cared about. It almost worked, too. Almost. Jack took a stack of bowls from Dad with a polite,
"I'll do that, Ted,"
before carrying everything into the kitchen. Dad watched him go with a weak, lopsided sort of smile. "What are you thinking, Dad?" I asked, cautiously. "Just that I'm going to miss you. It's been nice having you here this week." Dad sipped his wine, and from the way he sighed, I knew there was a talk coming. "Jack seems to make you very happy." My hands went to my hair, tucking some loose strands behind my ear. I threw a look back to the kitchen and saw Jack had started to do the washing up. "Yeah, he does. But you say that like it's a bad thing." Dad shrugged, then looked me right in the eye. "I just don't want to see you get hurt, love." I laughed nervously. "What makes you think I'm going to get hurt?" I swallowed the hard lump that had appeared in my throat, tempted to pour myself another glass of wine or just drink it straight from the bottle. "Jack seems nice enough, Freckles, but from what I gather, after everything I've read about him and what everyone told me during the wedding, he has quite a big lifestyle back at home. I'm curious as to whether or not he has any intention of bringing you into it." "He doesn't," I stated bluntly. "Jack and I'm not serious, Dad." "But you're sleeping with him." "Oh," I retched. "Please don't start making this weird. We're having a lovely evening, don't ruin it." "I'm being serious, Mel." "I know you are, and that's why it's weird. You don't need to worry about how serious things are with who I may or may not be sleeping with. You're my dad. You talk to me about, I don't know, but not this." "No," Dad pondered sorrowfully. "This was always more of your mum's domain. Boys and sex and stuff." "True," I thought. "I shared almost everything with my mum. She was my go-to when I was left dumped and heartbroken, or innocently confused about something sex-related. Like when Kiernan accused me of bringing a strap-on into school, and I didn't understand why everyone laughed when I thought he meant my school bag. Mum had to Google what a strap-on was when I got home. We both wish she hadn't." "I guess I'm just concerned that if you and Jack do decide to pursue whatever this is..."
"Dad, for God's sake!"
He flat out ignored me, dead set on voicing his unsolicited opinion. "I don't think you would be happy under the spotlight that he's under." "Well, yeah." I'd had the smallest of tastes of Jack's limelight during my time on Symbol of Freedom, and that had nearly broken my confidence completely. Strangers had gotten into my head, people who didn't know a single thing about me and had torn me down, stripped me bare and made me question everything about myself. I wouldn't dream of going through that again, let alone voluntarily. "Maybe I'm old-fashioned," Dad shrugged, sipping the last of his wine. "I think that if you're with someone, it's because you see a future with them. Or else, what are you doing other than wasting time? I think if I learnt anything from your mum's death, it was that time isn't guaranteed. And growing old alone,
is hard.
The evening has taken a very depressing turn. I had a good idea of how Jack and I would be spending our evening once we got dinner over and done with. But then Dad had to go and open his mouth. Stupid old man. Now I'm in bed, having slipped away while Dad and Jack were talking about train lines, with way too much on my mind. How have I gone from having fun to overthinking everything? Jack makes me happy. But that in itself is a very dangerous thing. In my experience, excess of happiness means heartache is not too far around the corner. The same day I had my first kiss with this boy I fancied throughout most of school, my budgie Kilo fell off his perch, dead. Similarly, the week my dad's mum died, I also won 250 quid on a scratch card. It was the first and only time I've ever bought a ticket. Both ends of the spectrum, the amazing and the utter shit, just seem to go hand in hand in my life. Jack and I made a mistake. That's the conclusion I've come to. We got caught up in the moment and in a drunken second of poor judgment, we threw ourselves at each other. Once we get back home, we need to give each other a stern handshake and move on with our lives. It's not like this could ever turn into anything serious. So, as Dad said, what am I doing? Other than wasting my time. Knock, knock. I bloody hope that's the ghost of my mum and not... Regrettably, it was Jack. He'd come to check on me.
Mel, everything okay?
He poked his head around the bedroom door. Seeing his face brought no joy this time. Just added to the pile of anxiety building in my stomach.
Yeah, I lied. Just a bit tired.
He entered the room hesitantly, his eyes scanning over my neatly packed suitcase.
You're eager to go home.
Well, I didn't know what time you wanted to set off tomorrow, so I thought I'd just get my stuff together now.
Okay.
Jack perched on the edge of my bed. He frowned when he noticed my knees were pulled up to my chest with my arms wrapped around them.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Told you, I'm just tired.
Tired Mel sits in sweatpants with a brew. Sad Mel wallows in the dark.
I'm not wallowing.
You've been off since dinner.
The soup gave me an iffy tummy. I shrugged, straightening out my legs, tempted to crawl under the covers and just cry. I didn't need Jack in my room acting all supportive and caring. I needed him to go back to being an arrogant arsehole so that I could end this for a better reason than... I don't want to waste my time shagging you in case I wind up with cancer like my mum and die before I'm 50. Or... I'd like to not grow old on my own like my dad, so maybe I should stop shagging you and focus more of my time on someone I actually see a future with. I swear, I'm fine. Jack placed his hand on my calf. My ears immediately went hot, my stomach twisting. He gingerly moved his hand further up my leg. He crawled up the bed, his fingers lingering between my thighs.
You're a really terrible liar, Mel.
My breath caught silently in my chest as I felt him grow hard. That's quite disheartening considering I'm an actor. Jack chuckled, pushing his whole weight into me. In a split second, it turned from sexy to suffocating. With him on top of me, I suddenly couldn't breathe. Stop. Jack didn't need telling twice. He sat up briskly, his hands raised, surrendering, eyes wide with panic.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I sat upright, my chest incredibly tight. I can't breathe. Jack hopped off the bed, heading straight for the balcony doors. Opening them welcomed in a cool breeze and a symphony of crickets.
You want some water?
Jack was already heading for the bathroom before I could reply, returning with a small glass and holding it out to me.
That any better?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Just sit down before you pull something. I took the glass and placed it on the bedside table. Jack awkwardly sitting on the bed as far away from me as possible. The crickets didn't help the uncomfortable silence.
Okay, I've clearly missed something. Like, do I grab my shovel now and just start guessing what I've done wrong? Or are you going to save us both some time and just come right out and tell me?
I rolled my eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I didn't realise you had somewhere to be right now.
Jesus, Mel, what is wrong with you?
Jack stood up. I'd hoped that meant he was leaving, but no.
Have I said something? Done something?
I pulled my hair out from its bun and scrunched my bobble in my fists. You haven't done anything, Jack. I'm just tired and would prefer to be left alone.
Okay.
Jack stormed off towards the door.
I really like you, Mel.
He snapped, turning back at me.
As a friend, I think you're thoughtful and cool. I think you're talented and funny, but dear God, as a person, you're tapped in the head. You don't know whether you're coming or going, whether you're into me or not. I've been clear with you from the start.
Yeah, you have. You've told me about the PR relationships and made it clear you were going to be my fake boyfriend this week. But everyone's gone now, Jack. You can stop pretending and we can just go back to being mates. It's what's best. Stops us both from wasting our time thinking this is something that it's not. Jack took a beat before nodding, his shoulders tense as he reached for the door handle.
Okay. Glad that's all been cleared up then.
He slammed the door behind himself and the room went still. I heard his feet pound down the hallway. His own bedroom door slammed and then silence. I couldn't help but grab my pillow and scream into it. That wasn't the way I saw things ending, but I can't complain when it's what I wanted. That's a lie. I didn't want any of this. I wanted Jack next to me, holding me close and kissing me all over. Why had I done this again? Oh yeah, because of one stupid comment my dad had made that I'd let get into my head. I couldn't just enjoy myself, could I? Couldn't just take Jack while I had him and dealt with all of this when we got home and it no doubt ended naturally. God, why am I like this? It's true what they say. Never get romantically involved with an actor.